let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, those good memory verses. Luke chapter 1. We stopped last night at verse 32, so we begin at verse 33. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 33. Might as well read 32, 3, and 4 together to get a background on it. Verse 32, if you have it. Luke 1, 32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? All right, verse 32. He shall be great. Who is saying this? The angel. Okay, the angel. Whatever his name, could be Gabriel, so on. But the messenger, the angel, the angelic messenger, talking to whom? To Mary, okay? And he shall be great, meaning of who? The Lord Jesus shall be great. What's his name in verse 32?
Son of the Highest.
Son of the Highest. Now, the Highest would be another name for who?
God.
For God himself, the Highest. The Elohim, the greatest, great God. And what was his promise in verse 32 concerning the Lord Jesus? What is promised?
The throne of David.
Throne of David. Now, who was David?
The
second king of Israel, the first being?
Chosen by God.
Chosen by God, the first king?
Saul,
right? And Saul was laid on the carpet, he's laid aside, and David grows up as a man after God's own heart, and the throne of his father David. In other words, he must be born of the seed of Abraham, of the household of David, in order to be the rightful king of kings, the Lord of Lords. And then in verse 33, what will his reign be? House of Jacob. So that would be the Jews. He's going to reign over the Jews. And how long is this to last? Forever, and the kingdom shall be no end. So there will be a millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in the thousand-year reign and rule on this earth. And after that, he'll reign for eternity over the saved people, the Gentiles that are in the church, and then, of course, the Jews, apparently. And then, verse 34, did Mary accept these things without any problem or question?
No.
No? What was her problem?
She had no man.
She had no man. She never had a husband, didn't have any sexual relations with anybody, any man at all. So how can these things be? Let's read verse 35, 6, and 7 together. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, and she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. All right, in verse 35. How did the angel explain how this was going to happen? All right, the Holy Ghost is going to be a miraculous birth. No human father, just the Holy Spirit of God will be the one that takes the Father's part. Power of the Highest. And what is the product called? What is the
incarnation?
Incarnation. And what is the one who's incarnated called in verse 35?
Son of God.
Son of God, that's right. What else is he called? That's true. What else? In verse 35?
The Holy Thing.
The Holy Thing. So this is a holy person, a holy thing. Was his birth like all births?
No.
No, definitely miraculous. The Holy Spirit of God coming upon Mary without any human father should be called that Holy Thing, should be called the Son of God. And so, what does the Son of God have reference to? What does that mean, Son of God? What is another title similar to that? The Lord Jesus said, Son of Man. Well, what's the difference between the Son of God and the Son of Man?
Son of God is one
and three. I remember the Trinity, Son of God, and Son of Man. At what point,
humanity,
the expression is humanity, at what point did the Lord Jesus Christ become the Son of Man? Was it? When he was born and married, in other words, when he became incarnate, at what point was he the Son of God?
There wasn't any point.
He always was, from all eternity back, past. There's no particular time, he's always the Son of God. Who denies this? What some prominent people deny his eternal sonship, or formally at least deny it? So all his witnesses deny his eternal son? Who else used to deny it? What is it?
Arians.
The Arians, those who were Arians, called Arians, who else denied his eternal son? Well, John MacArthur used to deny his eternal sonship. Now he claims that he doesn't deny it anymore, but he says it's all right if you do deny it. He wrote a couple of pages on it. But his eternal sonship. Now, what does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world, that the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does that verse say that God gave? His only begotten Son. So, was he a son before he gave him? He gave his only begotten Son. In order to give him, he has a, so this eternal Son. In the book of Proverbs, sometimes it says, what is his name, the name of God, and what is his son's name? That's in the book of Proverbs. It's asking a question. So the eternal sonship is there. Anyway, he should be called the Son of God. Let's read 35, 6, and 7 together. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. We already read that, I guess. Oh, I'm sorry. So let's go to 36. We read 35, 6, and 7, didn't we? So Elizabeth, who was her baby going to be called? John the Baptist, all right? Did Elizabeth pick that name? No. Who picked it? The angel came, and the Lord himself picked that name of John. Did the father, Zechariah, think that was a good idea? He struck down, what?
Yes.
He thought it was a good idea? Finally. Yes.
Did you write that in his
papers?
Yes.
Okay, did he first believe it?
No. Well, you're talking about the name?
Did Zechariah believe he's going to have a son? No, he did not. And because he did not believe, what did God do for him? He made him so that he could not speak. Don, what did you say?
I didn't remember.
Yeah. So he was doubtful, but his name was John. His father was Zechariah, Elizabeth, the sixth month. So, in the physical sense, how much older or younger was the Lord Jesus than John the Baptist? 6 months. All right, 6 months. Older or younger? Younger. John the Baptist was older, and the Lord Jesus was younger. Remember in John chapter 1, we're going to see, he that cometh after me has before me, John says, because he was before me. Did John believe in the eternal existence of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, he came after him, but he said he was before me. Because he was from all eternity. Before in the sense of time, and also before the sense of power and majesty and glory and importance and so on. Before in that sense. So, was this a miraculous birth in Elizabeth's case or only in Mary's case? It's a little different birth. It was the Lord opened up for when she was barren, which means she couldn't have any children. So in a sense, the Lord did help that condition of barrenness. It wasn't the same kind of birth because the Holy Spirit did not come upon her, but Zechariah and Elizabeth had a child just like regular people have children. And she was called barren. And she was old, that's right, she was old. But past childbearing, yes, that's true. So that was like Abraham and Sarah, so this was a miraculous situation, very, very different. And this is going to take place in verse 37. What is the wonderful teaching here? Of God's all things are possible. Now, is it possible for God to sin? No, it's not. See, sin apart, with God, all things are possible. All things that are according to His will certainly cannot sin. Now, the question is often asked, yes, Anna?
But can you make anything that you could break.
All right, that's the question that was asked. You asked it, now let me ask it again. She asked, can he make anything that he could? Can he make a thing so large that he could not lift it? Could God make anything so large that he could not lift it? No, he couldn't, that's what I said. So any of these are things questions people ask. But he, with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And he's able to make the world. All right, let's read 38, 9, and 40 together. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the fore country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. All right, what was Mary's, after she visited Elizabeth, did Mary believe that this was going to happen, she was going to have a child? Yes, she sees what it had. She said, behold thy handmaid, be it unto me according to thy word. Now Mary believed that she was going to have a child. And what is a handmaid?
Assistant.
Assistant. Right, that's a helper, an assistant, someone that follows along, a handmaid. Waiting and waiting for the queen?
Servant of the sort.
Servant. Is it a good idea for us to be handmaids or handmen to the Lord? Helping, servants? Yes, it's a good idea. So she was willing to be used of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Now, God had given her his word, did he not? When he gives his word, he will follow it according to his word. And that's why she believed, according to his word. That's why we must have the very words of God in Hebrew and Aramaic and the Greek, underlying the King James Bible. And the King James Bible accurately translated those words into English, the only one that actually translates the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. We must have his words so we can see how God works in these things and fulfills them. And when Moses was building the tabernacle in the book of Exodus, repeatedly, he said, He did this, as the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. Repeated them. Just exactly as God commanded them. And that's what we have to always follow. He followed exactly. So she says, according to thy word. Now, what's the contrast between Zacharias and Mary in regard to the birth of a child? What's the contrast between these two? She believed that it was going to happen.
I mean, and she was under lots of
consequences. She wasn't married, so they're going to say, well, you had an illegitimate child, and all kinds of things.
And yet she
still accepted it. She believed it, and Zacharias, of course, didn't believe. And finally, it took place whether he believed it or not. Someone has said at the Dean Bergen Society, I guess it was at the funeral. Dr. Hollywood was one of our vice presidents of the Dean Bergen Society. His son, David Hollywood, speaking of his dad, said, my dad always used to change a little bit what people say. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And he said, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. See, that's what Dr. Hollywood, which is true, isn't it? And why we do believe it, but when God said it, it settles it. That's it. So according to that word, and then where did the angel go? And why, do you think? Where did the angel go?
Yeah.
He left. Why do you suppose he departed?
Job was done.
His mission was accomplished, and he left. Yes, ma'am?
The handmaid, not to accept all the consequences
of that. She's supposed to do?
A servant's supposed to do. This is the old-fashioned idea of service.
Uh-huh.
But to do what the person who gave them or who owned them or slave wanted to do. Today, that's what Mary was. Today, people have a different idea when they work for people. They have a whole different way. And
yes.
The law can say that they're thinking they can't really be. And that's
They don't follow the master or the mistress of the house. If you're paying somebody to clean your house or do this or that, they should follow what your wishes are. You shouldn't have to fight off at time. But there's a proverb that goes like this. For three things, yea, for four things is it difficult. One of them is a servant when he ruleth. A servant when he ruleth. It's all mixed up as a prophecy. Because servants aren't usually giving orders and taking orders. No, they should be taking orders at least. So a problem, a servant when he ruleth. Yeah, Bob?
That's what happened with Hagar.
Yes.
And she no longer was a handmaid.
Right.
And she became almost equal to Hagar.
Yes, she thought she was the mistress of the house. She was the only thing. She just...
And that was Abraham's
wife. Abraham's... So we've got to be very careful.
I've
got it already. Quote it. Quote the context to that.
Well, Proverbs 30, verse 21. For there are three things in there. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 22.
All right, go ahead. Give us a background, son.
So there are three things. The earth is delinquent.
Disquieted,
yes.
Okay.
Disquieted. And the poor, which he cannot bear. The servant, which he... The servant when he reigneth. And a fool when he is filled with meat. The odious woman, when she is married, is a handmaid. That is heir to her mistress.
A handmaid is heir to her mistress. That feels right. That handmaid. That first, a servant when he ran it. See, these are things disquieting, very disquieting. All right. So the angel had finished his mission, so he left. Now, did we finish over after 39? All right. Now, in 39, where did Mary go now after she left her cousin Elizabeth? Pardon me? The hill country. Maybe it was fresh air, maybe it was good to talk. Somewhere in the area of Judah. Jerusalem is in Judah. This whole area is Judah, Judea. And so this whole area here would be where she went. Now, I'm not sure. Zechariah was where? Now, let me see. In chapter 1. Where is Zechariah and Elizabeth? They would be in Jerusalem, were they? In the temple, I would take it. And she went to visit. Mary was originally from Nazareth? Was she from Nazareth? Nazareth, rather. Anyhow, wherever she was, she went back to home into the hill country. Wherever that doesn't say the actual city, but the city of Judea.
Since when Zechariah was done with his court, he went someplace else to get with that wasn't.
Uh-huh.
It
was Angel Gabriel, Joanna. I see that, verse 26. Yeah, it was Gabriel, yeah. Nazareth, the city of Galilee. So it's way up in the Galilee area, which is Nazareth, the where she was from. Let me see if he found
verse 22.
Pardon me?
22, verse 23. Back in Luke, verse 23.
Luke. Yeah, 126, isn't it? The city of Galilee near Nazareth. Is that what you mean, that one?
How about the,
where's Nazareth? Right here, see? Nazareth. Nazareth, right here. So, she went back to the hill country. Yeah, Dan, what was it? 22?
And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house.
All right.
Of course, he had a course he took.
Yes. So we don't know where his house was, do we? We know where Zechariah was from. But he went out of the temple into his house. And so this is quite a distance from Galilee to Jerusalem. If she was in Galilee and coming down to Jerusalem, that's this distance here, statute of miles, that's 25 miles like that. And so that's 25, 50, 70, it could be 100 miles she had to travel just to see her cousin. It's a long distance. She didn't have a plane, did she? A car or a bus? No trains. All right, so she went to the hill country, and in verse 40, what did she see there? Elizabeth and Zechariah. All right, so she visited them at this time in the hill country, probably where they were. All right, let's read verse 41, 42, and 43. And came to pass, as Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, they leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice that said, Behold, thou art, blessed rather, art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? All right, so verse 41. When she saw her cousin, now, looks like there were two times when she saw the cousin. Where's the first time? We read it earlier. And behold, that cousin, or the angel in verse 36 simply told her about the cousin. And finally, she came to visit and see. All right, so she went. Now, what happened when, what does it mean to salute?
Hello.
To say hello, just to greet, that's all. And so what happened when Mary saluted and said hello to her cousin Elizabeth?
They
leaped in her room. So was that baby a person or not a person? A person. That's why the abortion situation is telling people and telling individuals. And Elizabeth, what reaction did she have from the Lord?
Filled
with the Holy Ghost. And so she was a woman here with the power of the Lord in her life, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the babe leaped in her womb. So there was life, this is a person, not a thing, something to be killed and slaughtered, as 1.5 million are slaughtered in this country historically through the years in this country alone because of abortion. And she speak out with a loud voice. What did Elizabeth say to Mary? She knew she's going to be blessed and happy. And what else? The Lord Jesus, he would be also blessed. Fruit of thy womb, which is Jesus. Now, is this part of the rosary of the Roman Catholics? It's part of the rosary. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So I don't know what part it is, you know, what are the beads and so on, but it's part of that. But is this scriptural or unscriptural? Scriptural, Mary was blessed, but the way they use it, that's not scriptural, but the invoking Mary. But in what way was she blessed? Why does God call her blessed? She has a child, special child, handmaid of the Lord. She's going to have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and that's a blessing. And
they also got in Judges 5:24, where another woman is pregnant, was called blessed. So that could be an argument against that Mary is any more blessed than anyone else.
Right.
Child.
Right. And that word, Makarios, which is blessed, is happy, you ought to be happy. And a lot of women aren't happy when they are going to have a child. They're not unhappy.
But Pastor Judges, what is that verse?
Judges 5:24.
The
blessed above woman shall
jail,
the wife of her, the king of
Kenites,
is blessed shall she be above
women in the tent. So I mean, it's saying jail, her jail, the
canon.
Hmm? All right, that's good. So,
is there blessed of the father, the blessed of the mom? Is there a difference between that?
She shall be above women in the tent. So, I mean, it's above.
Yeah. The only blessed one, so.
Yeah.
Now, the Roman Catholic worship of Mary is some of the things that they say are found in Scripture. But certainly, this is not what the Lord means. The Lord did not say that her worship Mary, doesn't say that she's co-redemptress, doesn't say she ascended into heaven bodily. All these different doctrines that they built upon Mary. And the belief in Mary and Mariology, worship of Mary. So, blessing is through the world. All right, let's read verse 43, 4, and 5 together. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told to her from the Lord. All right, 3, 4, and 5. Elizabeth had a question. What did she know about the birth of this child? According to verse 43, what did she know?
She knew that
Mother of my Lord. So there's going to be a divine person, a Lord, a Savior, that's going to be born. And why is the mother of my Lord coming? Now, is the mother also the Lord? Is the mother also the Lord? No, she's not the Lord. And then Elizabeth explained in verse 44 about the voice of the salutation. The babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, if the babe leaped for joy, what does that say about the babe's emotions and feelings? Did he have any? He had any, didn't he? And so that means there's real personality. In fact, 6 months, you can see, I don't know the details, I'm not a doctor, but you can see fingers and toes and eyes and hands, even at earlier than 6 months, even 2 months, 3 months, well, there's all kinds of different, you can see the personality. So, now, what is the late-term abortion month where they can pull out a baby right out from mother's womb, knock his head apart, kill him, and pull him out? What's the month called the late-term abortion?
Beyond the 6th month.
Beyond the 6th. Is it 8th month, 9th month? Maybe the 9th month, isn't it? And I understand that one of the presidents didn't sign that late-term abortion ban against it. Was it President Clinton? I think it was Clinton that didn't sign it. Kevin?
I think, as the baby is being born,
they can still kill him.
Do something to the
president. Crush the head and kill him, poor baby. Well, it's a sad thing. This was a babe that leaped for joy. In other words, it has emotion, it has feelings. In fact, the matter is that article that we just took off the book rack just yesterday, it talked about the pain that the babes have when they're in the womb, and the details, and how they're, when they're killed, it says, really, you can see it, the whole thing is it's a sad thing. Well, anyhow, and then in verse 45, what did Elizabeth give praise to Mary concerning here? Why did she further praise her? She believed. Is that praiseworthy? Yeah, faith, yes. God wants us to have faith in what His Word is. What was she trusting? Whose Word was she trusting? The Word of the Lord. Is that safe to trust the Word of the Lord? Is it safe?
Where does it say Elizabeth
45? Pardon me?
Verse 45.
Blessed is she that believed. So she did believe. Is it safe always to trust the word of men and women, people? Not always true. Should we be able to trust the word of each other if we're saved? We should speak the truth. And well, sometimes there's things that come up and we can't fulfill what we do, but God's word is believable, and our word should be true. Blessed. Again, that word blessed, it's makarios, it means happy in the sense of joyful. Is she that believed? This is Elizabeth, yes. She's Elizabeth is talking that to Mary. And what did Elizabeth know would happen because of this promise in verse 45? What would happen? Pardon me?
Those things that were told to happen.
Right. Everything that God told you would happen come to pass. And God's word is reliable. It's reliable, and when He speaks, it takes place. Performed those things which were told to her from the Lord. It was from the Lord, and she just followed and believed it. It's amazing what the Lord that gives faith in the heart of people like Mary and Elizabeth. When the Lord speaks, they believe the Lord, and it's a great thing to believe the Lord and what He does. And we should be ashamed of ourselves not to believe the Lord when He tells us He's going to do something. Yeah, Mom?
That just shows how they are women of faith.
Yes, the women of faith. That's right. Not just men of faith, but they're women of faith. In fact, we have some men of unbelief and men of faith and some women of unbelief. And remember when Samson was going to be born. The mother didn't really know too much about that, and there was quite a bit of doubt, and well, how should we know this? And then tell us again and different things, but the angel brought that news about Samson's birth. But all right, let's go on with 46, 47, 48. This is called the Magnificat. Why is it called the Magnificat in Latin? All right, she's magnifying the Lord, and that Latin word needs to magnify. Let's read 46, 7, and 8 together. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. All right, she said about her spirit. What does her spirit want to do, and what was it like?
In verse
46? To magnify the Lord. What does it mean to magnify something? Make it bigger. Make something small, make it bigger, and that's what it's going to be far,
very close.
Something far, very close, as what a telescope would do, would see things at a distance, but smaller appears larger. That's to magnify, to make larger things. Then her soul magnifies the Lord. What does her spirit do in verse 47?
Rejoices.
How many parts does every human being have that is born into this world? How many parts?
Three
major parts. What are they?
Body, soul, and spirit.
Body, soul, and spirit. All spirits, all body. Now, there's some do not believe that there are three parts, but only two parts. In a sense, there's the material part, the body, and the immaterial part, spirit and soul, but there's still three parts. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, I pray your whole spirit and soul and body may be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord. So, biblical psychology, as it were, puts three parts in every one of us. And so our soul magnifies the Lord, our spirit. What does the spirit do in verse 47? Rejoices. In whom? God, I said, when she says that God is her Savior, what does that imply in regard to her condition?
She's
concerned about it. She what? Pharisee. How would that imply she's a Pharisee? My Savior. Well, I'm just asking her for information.
Because she believes in the coming of the Messiah.
Coming of the Messiah.
And also in the resurrection.
Resurrection.
That's
how
she'll need a Savior. She believes there is a Savior.
All right, she believes there is a Savior, and also does she believe she needed one? How do you know she believes she needed a Savior? In that verse. What does it say? God, my Savior. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Now, if someone that needs a Savior, what is that condition of that person that needs a Savior? Before he or she accepts and receives that Savior,
they need to be saved from something.
They're lost. What's that then?
They need to be saved from something. They need to be
saved from something, and the lost condition. So this is the verse that many of us who are non-Catholics point to see that Mary was not impeccable. What does impeccable mean? Without sin. See, that's what the position is, that she was immaculate. What does that mean? Without sin again. See, these words, immaculate and impeccable and sinless.
Immaculate and perpetual.
Perpetual virgin.
Although as far as she had a birth similar to that of her, so that she was born the same way as the first was born. And her mother was born the same way as the first born. Her grandmother was born the same way.
That's what the Roman Catholics teach.
And her great-great-grandmother and her great-great-grandmother was just
in a miraculous way, sinless. Which, is that true or false? Was she? Was she born the same way as the Lord Jesus was born?
No.
Was her mother born the same way? Was her grandmother born the same way? Was her great-grandmother born the same way? No, they're all false. And then go ahead. Are you making that up there?
Not the birth of conception. Not the birth of the conception.
The conception? They teach that? Your wife may be pressed to correct that, being a former Catholic theologian. Anyway, the point you have on.
But they have heard that they say Mary was naturally conceived. And Anna, they say a son of them named Anna, but they must mean that Anna, that's his mother. I've heard that, and I can't verify that.
Yes, of course, that's all extra biblical outside the Bible. Yeah, Anna?
I think that my father was trying to say that I think he's trying to say that they were born in the form, in the form.
Yes, go ahead, speak up, Anna, so we all can hear. Because Mr. Griesman is trying to listen from California. What else? Ed, can you figure out what she's saying?
No.
No? Okay, well, we'll move on. The funny part is, if she has got my Savior, she needs a Savior, she's not sinless, she's not a perfect person, and she's not the co-redemptrix with Christ. She did not redeem us. In fact, Ralph Berry Jr. was telling me this morning that, you know, this former man that used to be on TV, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, he's on TV even sometimes now by replay. But they're trying to say that Fulton J. Sheen was, you're going to make him a saint. You know, they're trying to get him sanctified. And there's a monk on this morning or sometime that he was telling me that they're making Sheen has to go through the Blessed Mother, through the Holy Mother, through Mary, so in order to be saved. Salvation has to come through her. And this says about Sheen today in the program that she went through the Blessed Mother. She went through Mary, and she was that's how she got to heaven, and so on, or he got to heaven. That's why he could be sanctified. So our Bible, your Bible's underneath the right side. Your eyes are so okay. So, alright, we'll move on with Luke chapter 1 and verse 47. Verse 48, yes, Bonnie, yeah, go ahead.
I was, my soul had magnified the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord magnified the Lord. Of course, we can't magnify the Lord by charity, because we aren't made there. Sometimes when we spend time with the Lord, or we especially for ourselves, we feel, sometimes a person does magnify the Lord, and we know other people, and we talk to them, and then it's how your spirit can rejoice. I don't know if it's wrong to take it out of context, but sometimes when we are close to the Lord,
yes, the psalmist says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us go into the house of the Lord together. Paul said before he died, remember Philippians chapter 1, that Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So, Luke chapter 1, and verse 48. Now, in verse 48, what was the opinion of Mary concerning herself? What was her position? A low state. What is the opinion of the Roman Catholic Church today of Mary? Was it?
High,
right? The highest that could possibly be. In fact, a saint, and even almost deity, almost God, who could save and forgive sins, confessing to her. But she said, the low state of thine handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. So she said, if I don't say so myself, I'm going to be blessed in the sense of Makarios, which is happy and rejoicing. So, yes, she is.
She must have known she was special, and God was looking at her. People would look.
Or she's reverent. She knows the prophecies.
She knows the prophecies.
Christ, you heard the full prophecies.
In Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So she's fulfilling Isaiah 7:14.
She's like an empty vessel that God is using, and knowing that she's sacrificed.
alive.
Yes, she shall be called blessed, but that doesn't mean she shall be glorified and exalted to the place of sainthood and godhood.
You see, that's a sacrifice.
Pardon me?
What
would Mrs. Wade, what is her sacrifice?
She was shunned where she was.
She was what?
She was shunned because at the time, to be a virgin, not married, had a child.
Yes.
And to stand and be offended to the Son of God, like, was shunned by the whole community and everything.
All right.
That's more than what we're even doing in the Bible, like, the stuff probably she went through.
That's so, right.
In fact, that was a prophecy, you know?
In fact, in the book of John, the Pharisees reviled the Lord Jesus, and they said, "We be not born of fornication," implying that he was. Because they had no human father. They accused him of being born of fornication. See, a simple relationship. So that's a sacrifice being looked down upon you,
Joseph was minded to divorce her.
Joseph was minded to put her away and divorce
her. But he
put her away privately.
Yeah.
And that's the Jewish custom, was it not? In the espousal state, just like marriage, they call themselves husband and wife. They never come together sexually, not never really married, but they call themselves a spouse. In that espousal state, once you commit a fornication with some other person, man or woman, then that would be divorce. That was the only grounds for divorce, one who committed fornication in this espousal state. Then the one that did not commit fornication could go ahead and be a spouse to someone else and then later marry. Divorce in the New Testament had nothing to do with after marriage, like we know it. It was during that engagement or spousal period that he was minded to put her away and divorce her, but he didn't. All right, Renee.
While reading this, I was just thinking, did God give Mary that capacity to know that she was special? Because, like, the other Jewish people of that time, they believed that the Messiah was going to come as a, you know, like in a king form and all. And like, he never did come like that, you know, it had to happen. And I'm just wondering, like, where Mary got that. Was it when the angel came to her, the Holy Spirit, that whole capacity of thinking of, you know, that she was
going to
have the Savior. Do you understand what I
yes,
mean?
Yes, I think that's true. I think that's one
because
she believed.
Because other people didn't believe it, and how she had this special capacity to believe that.
Yes.
I think it had to be the Spirit, because I wouldn't believe it unless
no.
I saw a Spirit in front of me. You know, like, yeah. That was, like, crazy. That would just, you know, make me know that this is real.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be able to find people.
Like it says in verse 30, they're not married. For thou hast found favor with God. See, and so she believed God and the promise. Behold, thou shalt conceive and thou wilt bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Which means what? Jesus, the Savior. He'll be a Savior. Yes, Lon?
Did you mention when you were talking about Handmaiden, verse 38, when she said, behold, the enemy of the Lord? She knew she was a servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord, that's right.
Sometimes I think, in trying not to be Catholic, we forget.
Yes.
A young woman. She's probably a young teenager.
Yes, a young woman.
She was a wonderful woman that was willing to sacrifice. And just think what she gave up the whole life.
Sacrifice.
In the sense of the...
It applies to choosing to do something. God chose her. She didn't choose God.
Right.
Right.
She didn't sign up to be the mother of Jesus. God picked her.
Yeah.
Well, I think what Mom means as far as the talk of the town, other women, other men, talking behind the back, look, that woman, she has no husband, she's got to have a baby. She, in that sense, in other words,
well,
wasn't a sacrifice, I suppose, for the words.
She could have aborted it, like, it was her
she did not abort it. Of course, the abortion wasn't performed, at least in most cases in those early days. But I'm sure there must have been some.
I mean, even now, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if your whole family and life is being
sacrificed. But she certainly didn't think of that, nor did Elizabeth. This was a special favor for the Lord. All right.
I think she was very special.
Yes, she's a special favor. Give credit where credit is due, but don't exalt her to the level of the Roman Catholic. Yes, ma'am?
I understand the present Pope
has done more to bring Mary, worship Mary out in later years of history in his reign than many popes of late.
Yes. Well, the whole Passion movie, The Passion of the Christ, is heavy on Mariology and the worship of Mary, and how Mary knew this and did this and so on. So it's really strong. There's no question about that. All right. Verse 48, henceforth all generations. Let's read 49, 50, and 51 together. But he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Right, verse 49. What did Mary think of the Lord? Why do you think she knew he was mighty? He's got great gifts and power. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And certainly this is something that is considered to be impossible. He's done great things. She regarded him in his name as what? Holy. His name was holy. What other attribute in verse 50 did she see in the Lord? Mercy. And then the fear of him. Pardon me? Yes, this was her Magnificat, or like in 1 Samuel. Mercy of generation. And then verse 51, what do you suppose this refers to? Verse 51, what do you think that refers to? He has showed strength with his arm. Well, part of this, the strength would be to enable Elizabeth to have this baby, John, and Mary to have the Lord Jesus Christ, the strength and might. He says in the last part of that, he's scattered the proud and the imagination of their hearts. He has always been against the proud hearts, and whether in Jesus' generation or before that in the Old Testament, he's strong and mighty, and she knew that to be. She was certainly a believing young woman, wasn't she? A believing woman of faith, and trusting the Lord is mighty, powerful. Imagination of the hearts, the proud. Remember in Jeremiah, we talked about the pride, the imagination of the hearts. That's one of the things like the Lord called Judah evil, an evil people. My people are evil. Because they walked after the imagination of their heart. This is the very word that is used here that the Lord scattered people for. Let's read 52, 53, and 54 together. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath set empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Right, verse 52. The mighty. Who are the mighty? How would you define the mighty? Was that power, all right? What gives them that power? Pardon me?
Some
give God, was it? What did you say?
God.
Megan, what did you say?
Wealth.
Something, money. Something, God gives them power. If they're powerful, and the Lord gives it to them, certainly you can do that. Power, might, money, fame, prestige, station in life.
Born into it,
inheritance, and so on. But he has put the mighty down from their seats. Who did he exalt? Verse 52. Yes, Anna?
God from the Lord is in power, and he is the president. He's not the ruler. And God is
so God puts people in power by people how they elect and so on. Yes, sometimes he does work through elections.
Romans tells powers that are ordained or powers to be ordained of God.
As far as the powers, that's right. His powers and authority of your Christian government. Not that all governments are necessarily following Romans 13. Romans 13 makes it very clear that good government exalts those that do good and punishes those that do evil. And that's what the definition of biblical government is. But all governments do not do that. They're contrary to biblical government. If you don't do that which is good, shall you not have the praise of the same? Well, not if you're in a communist country. If you do that which is good, you're out to the Siberians. Very simple. But that is the idea of government. And so that's why the anarchists are wrong, those that believe in no government at all. Remember, there were some protests at the Democratic Convention of the anarchists. And they just had the black faces and so on. So there was no government. They're just absolute rulers. That's horrible. Well, that's when people have no government, no authority over them. They just do what they want to do. That's like the Book of Judges. Remember what the Book of Judges said? There's no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's anarchy. That is no government, no rule. Anarchy. No rule. No government. And he's put down the mighty, the seats, and then what's he done with the people of low degree? Exalted. Who is one of the low degree people that he's exalted here? Mary. She's humble. She's not a big, proud, arrogant individual. And then in verse 53, what's he done to the hungry? Tell them the good things. And the rich? Empty away. So these are some of the things that the Lord has worked out in Mary's life in that early day. And certainly we can say he does that many times even today. Let's read. Well, we'll stop here at 53. We'll start at 54, Lord willing, next week. Let's read 54, 5, and 6 just to get the background. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So this will start up next week. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Good to have Megan with us from Jacksonville. And all of our old timers, we're glad to have them. Let's close with the word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy grace. We thank thee we could talk about Elizabeth and her babe, John the Baptist. We could talk about Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord that as we, Mary needed a Savior. She was humble. We thank thee for that. She was blessed because the Lord God has chosen her to be the mother of our Savior. So we thank you for her testimony, and we thank you for that grace. Help us to go out and live for our Savior this week. And direct us, we do pray for those that are in need of prayer, for Ed's father who's in the emergency there with his bad foot. We ask you for that situation. Continue to be with Brother Ralph Berry as his heart and his leg sometimes give him problems. Go with us and bless us and use us to thy glory. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.